You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
You know, if you have been brought up in a Christian family and you kind of grew up in the local church as a child, you would have probably went to Sunday school or kids' church. Is that right? And you have been probably told many Bible stories during your formative years, yeah? And some of the top stories would be maybe Jonah and the fish. You remember that one? Jonah and the fish. How about Noah's Ark? Noah's Ark. David and Goliath, okay? I think I've got some slides here. It's David and Goliath. Adam and Eve. And I would definitely say top five would be Daniel in the lion's den. Is that right? Who remembers the amazing, you know, stories of Daniel in the lion's den being told as a youngster? Is that right? Yeah. And I would imagine for some of you, you would have read chapter 6 this week. Hands up, those who read chapter 6. Hallelujah. Compared to the same question last week, this time I had double. You are listening. God is watching. So good. Now, let me give you the spoiler for those who haven't read it. All right? So Daniel is thrown into the lion's den because he's more concerned with pleasing God than man. And he's unharmed. God sends an angel to shut the mouths of these lions, and they did not touch him. All right? So one could read Daniel chapter 6, right, and conclude, wow, that's a nice story. That's a wonderful story to remember the next time I put the kids to bed. Oh, it's a great story. It's a beautiful story, like all the others. Little Red Riding Hood, Humpty Dumpty, Three Little Pigs. Is that right? We can draw the conclusion that it's a fairy tale. But let me say this, that chapter 6 is not a fairy tale. It is a reminder of God's sovereignty and God's power in history. That God was involved in saving Daniel. And it teaches us that God can, if he wants to, shut the mouths of these lions because he is powerful. But this is the same God that we see in the Bible who allowed his son to die on the cross. Right? This God could have easily bind up all the soldiers who were torturing his son and stopped them from killing his son, but he did not. The same God who shut the mouths of the lion is the same God who allowed the Roman torturer to kill his very own son. What does it teach us? It teaches us that God is sovereign and God is God and God can do whatever God wants to do. But whatever God decides to do, listen carefully, it is perfect. That's a very tough pill to swallow because we have a tendency to think that a good God, a perfect God, will always do things my way. How I like it to pan out in history. But no. This teaches us that God is God and God can do whatever God wants to do. And whatever he decides to do, my friends, it is completely perfect. Sometimes he will shut the mouths of lions. Sometimes he will not. So if you read Daniel chapter 6 and the next time you're at Perth Zoo, leave the lions alone. Take photos from the safe side of the enclosure because there have been people in the past who have jumped into lion's den because they felt that it was a spiritual thing to do. You can Google that and you can read that on and it is quite sad, their ending. So we need to understand that. So if you've read chapter 6, you're saying, well, Ben, what's there for me? What is going on? Well, what I want to do this morning is I want to unpack with you three of Daniel's holy habits. Daniel's holy habits, they are, I'll tell you what they are. These were his holy habits whilst living in Babylon. Faithfully serving, faithfully praying, faithfully trusting. So I'm going to unpack those three holy habits. Let me pray and we'll work the text together. Father God, I pray now that as I teach your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, you be our great teacher. We invite you to teach us what these holy habits are and help us to not just listen, but to do them for your glory. So would you give me strength? Would you be upon me this time? Would you use me to preach your word with clarity, with passion, with authority? And may we all receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, please now turn to Daniel chapter 6. If you have the church app, you can always open up the church app. If you don't have either, the passage of study will be on the screen behind me. Faithfully serving. Let's look now in the very first few verses. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. So what you see here, it's like an organizational chart. It's a pyramid. You've got the king at the very, very top, and then you have these three governors or administrators, and below them you've got 120 officials or satraps, right? And the whole idea was to make sure that the king doesn't suffer loss, financial loss. So it's all about taxes and money and everyone keeping one another accountable so that the king will get his money. Now, verse 3, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So what we see here is that, wow, there is something so special about Daniel. Verse 4, at this time, the administrators and the satrap tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Here's the context. If you remember from last week's sermon, Babylon has been taken over by the Medes and the Persian. Remember? The king of Babylon has been killed. There is a new king, Darius. He's from Persia. He's now ruling this new kingdom, Babylon. And Daniel has spent the last 70 years faithfully serving the various kings of Babylon. Yeah? What's interesting is that Darius, the new king, he's very new to the scene. This probably took place year 2. He doesn't know the history of Daniel. He doesn't know who Daniel is, but there is something so impressive about Daniel that within a couple years, the king says, that's it. I have a plan to appoint you, Daniel, at the very top. All right? Now, can I ask this question here to the employers here? If you are running an organization, if you're a manager or a boss, who would you promote? All right? There's a slide behind me. Look carefully. This is not a trick question. Look carefully. Who would you promote if you're running a practice or a company or a factory, an organization? A or B? Hands up, A. Okay. That's a third of you. Hands up, B. No one. The rest of you, you're probably going AI. Just get them to do all the work for you, right? See, usually we want to promote people who are what? Faithful, right? Those who do the work well and those who are hard workers, people with integrity, right? We want them at the very top because we know that they're trustworthy. They would not cause any issues. They will not let us down. And that is what we see in Daniel, right? The Bible is very clear. The Bible says that he had what? Exceptional qualities. Right? They could not find a charge against him, right? They could not find what? No corruption in him. The Bible says that he was what? Trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. And that speaks of what? Daniel's integrity, right? What I spoke on last week. What's integrity? Integrity is just what? Doing good things, right? Especially when no one's watching. Is that right? Integrity is doing good things. You see someone drop $50 and you pick it up and you don't pocket it, you hand it back. That's the right thing. That's a good thing to do. Remember during the COVID years when the boss allowed you to work from home? Well, when you work from home, you work from home. You know what I'm talking about, right? Or when the boss is out of town, we still work as if he's in town, right? When we tell our parents, I'm going to do my homework, and so they, you know, we shut the bedroom door and we're playing games. That's not integrity. I'm looking at all the young people, right? Right? Integrity is doing the right thing, doing good thing, especially when no one's watching. And we see that in Daniel. He's an honest person. He's a trustworthy person. He's reliable. And he's been doing this for many decades, 70 years. Regardless whoever's on the throne, it doesn't matter what king is there, we see him serving faithfully over the years. And I want you to think this with me. In chapter 6, Daniel is an old man. Is that right? He's right in his 80s. 80 years old, and he's still serving faithfully that the king notices something different about him. Who is he serving? Pagan kings. Where is he serving? On pagan land. Because he's from what? Israel. This is not his land. And he's serving them. He doesn't come up with any excuses. He just serves whoever's there faithfully. I mean, Daniel could have easily said to God, God, you know I'm an old man now. God, can you please excuse me from serving because I'm in my 80s? I've done this now for the last 70 years. I mean, I have served faithfully since I was a teenager. But look, there's a new king, King Darius. Look, you know that I don't want to serve him because I don't like serving pagan kings. In fact, this is not even our land. I belong to Jerusalem. That's the Holy Land. Look, I've done 70 years of serving faithfully on pagan land. Can I have a break now? Because I'm going to probably die soon. Just give me a break. But there's no excuses. Serves faithfully in his teens, in his 20s, in his 30s, all the way in his 80s. And the new king says, there's something special about you that I want to point you at the very, very top. I guess for you and I today, one of the holy habits we can have is faithfully serving, regardless of where God places us. For some of you here this morning, listen carefully. You are to be faithful in the community God has placed you in. Be the best employee. Be someone that is exceptional in your company. Yes, you may have a boss who's like Darius. You may have someone who is so anti-Christ, but God has placed you there for a reason. You just keep being faithful and remember and remind yourself of Daniel, who was faithfully serving all these pagan kings for so many decades. And I believe that's something that we must always keep close to heart. Be the best worker out there. But I want to say this, is that if you look carefully in the text, the one that Daniel was actually serving was not the kings of Babylon, but it was actually God himself. Deep down, he was actually serving his king, Yahweh. And I'll show you in the text. We see it in the conversation between Darius and Daniel. Go to verse 16 and 20. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. Now look carefully. The king said to Daniel, may your God, you see that? May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. See, even this new king, who've only known Daniel for a couple years, would say, may your God, the one that you serve, rescue you. You see that? Now look in verse 20. In an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions. You see what Darius is saying? Daniel, the God that you've been serving, I hope he rescues you. The God that you have been serving, I hope he saved you. Ultimately, as followers of Christ, the one that we serve is that God. And the wonderful thing about the local church, this local church here, is that we get to practice that and serve God. Listen carefully. For some of us here this morning, and I don't want to be condemning, and that's not my intention here, we've got to stop finding excuses. We've got to stop saying, well, I'm too old for that. It's for the youngies. Daniel was in his 80s. Or I'm just too busy at the moment. Or I'm just not good enough. Don't you know I've got a young family and that's occupying me? You know, we can easily find excuses to say, no, I don't want to serve. But can I encourage you is that whatever season you are in, there's always an opportunity to serve your God. It may be different to the previous season. And there's some families here, I won't mention name, but you have really encouraged me the way you serve. I see certain families here, before you had children, you were serving in this capacity. And then kids came along, and now it's slightly different, but you're still contributing. As your kids get older, you're doing this, and that encourages me because there's a wisdom in you that you know that whatever season you're in, God is still worthy of serving, and you are serving Him faithfully. Do not fall into the trap where you're like, well, I can serve God because I'm young, I've got the energy, I've got no kids, but as soon as now I'm a bit old and stale and I've got kids, Bali is not for me. Don't fall into that trap. Ask God how you can make a difference in this community, because we see that in the life of the one we are following, Jesus. No excuses, just faithfully serving. Jesus says this in the gospel, Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man, referring to Himself, and by the way, the Son of Man here is in reference to Daniel chapter 7 next week. So He's actually talking about Daniel 7, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give up His life as a ransom for many. Make a difference, Sun Life Church. This is a word for someone here this morning. Stop coming up with excuses. Holy habit number one, faithfully serving. We see that in Daniel. Number two, faithfully praying. Now, the king's decision to promote Daniel made the other two administrators and some satraps very jealous, right? So they hatch a plan, right? And they knew, right? Listen, Kevin, they knew the only way to get Daniel wasn't through his character, because his character was pretty perfect, but through his faith in his God. Now, look what happens in verses 5-8. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with his law of his God. That the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that everyone who prays to any god or human being over the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance to the law of the Medes and Persian, which cannot be repealed. So what's happening here? So they say to the king, hey, king, we are your advisors, we are your administrators, and here are some satraps. And by the way, we all agree, that's 122 of them. Well, actually, they actually thought that Daniel agreed as well. We all agree that you should be God for 30 days. I'm going, 30 days? If I was Darius, I want to be God for 30 years, not 30 days. But this king here obviously thought it was a great idea. King, you are God for 30 days. Everyone are to pray to you and no other gods, no other man. If we catch anyone praying to any other god, any other man, we're going to throw them to the lion's den. So this king here thought, what a great idea. I'll be God for 30 days. Everyone pray to me. Laws written, signed, sealed, notification out to the kingdom, Snapchat, WhatsApp, email, everyone gets it, right? Daniel gets it. Now, what's the very first thing Daniel does? Go to verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. What's the very first thing he does? He prays. Who is he praying? Well, he opens the door towards Jerusalem. So he's praying to the God of Israel. He's praying to his God. But you notice at the very end of verse 10, I want you to highlight this. By the way, if you have a hard copy Bible, highlight this. If you don't have a hard copy Bible, you might repent. Bring a hard copy Bible if you can. You notice at the very end of verse 10, just as he had done before. Can you see that? It's a holy habit. He's a praying man. He's always praying three times a day. He's not praying when things are going pear-shaped. Not when he's desperately looking for a job. Not when he wants to find a husband or a wife. Right? Not when someone's asked him to pray. You see, he's regularly praying, and everyone in the kingdom knew that he was a praying man. That's the only way to get him. That's why these officials are very smart. We can't find any fault in him, but what we know is that he's a praying man, and he prays to his God, Yahweh, three times a day. We've noticed this for the last 70 years. So what we'll do is we'll have this new law. Anyone who prays to any God other than you, King, lion's den. And that's how they got him. Now look in verse 13. Then they, these are the officials, said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays, what, three times a day. You notice that? See, they knew this is Daniel's life. And what I love about the text here is that Daniel's physical life is hanging on a thread, right? But he would rather die the physical life than the spiritual life. I see that in the text. And I'm asking God this question. God, if I were Daniel, I would probably ask you, God, if I could just take a break for 30 days. After 30 days, God, I will pray to you and I'll make it up and I won't go three times. I'll go six times a day. But Lord, you know the situation. 30 days, I won't pray to you. Daniel doesn't do that. You notice that? He doesn't have this conversation and negotiate with God and say, God, well, you know there's a law out there, and if I don't pray to the king, in fact, in those days, the Babylonians, they're a polytheistic religion, so they pray to many gods, so they don't really care if you pray or you don't pray. So Daniel could have easily said, God, how about this? For the next 30 days, I don't pray at all. I don't pray at you. No one's going to notice me praying to you. So I'm going to be safe. So just 30 days. And then day 31, I'll start praying to you. I'll make it up for all those loss. I'll pray six times a day. He doesn't do that. Here's the lesson for us here. It's not about praying three times or six times a day. No, no. The lesson is that it's about regular prayer. Are we someone who have the habit of praying regularly? And as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to be like the one we're following. And we see that in Jesus. Jesus is forever finding his secret place, praying to his Father regularly. And I want to encourage you, as followers of Jesus, that we must have this holy habit where we are praying to him regularly, not spontaneously, not in desperation, but it becomes something that we cannot live without, that we are praying to him, I would say, daily. Martin Luther, he says this, to be a Christian without praying is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Make small changes. Start small. For some of us, why don't you pray for 1 minute? Set your alarm. When the alarm goes off, just pray for 1 minute. But here's the key. Make it regular. Make it consistent. It requires discipline. Amen? And then after a while, maybe 1 minute becomes 2 minutes. Yeah? But again, here's the key. Make it regular. Make it consistent. It requires discipline. And I'm not including the prayer that we pray before we eat. All right? But hey, let me say this. If you don't pray at all, and you don't even pray before you eat, maybe that's a good starting point for you. That before you eat, why don't you just pray and give thanks to God and say, thank you, God, that what I have here, oh God, is your grace and your kindness. Amen. Make that a regular thing. It has to be consistent. It has to be regular, and it will be a discipline. For some of you, maybe it's 5 minutes. And you are saying, well, Pastor Ben, how do I pray for 5 minutes? That's too long. Well, I'll show you what you can do. Go back to verse 10 and verse 11. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he's done before. Verse 11, then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. You want to make 5 minutes very quick? Number one, thanksgiving. Just thank God. God is so kind. There's a song that's gone viral on TikTok or YouTube. I thank you for the sunshine. I probably sang it wrong. Thank you for the rain. Siri just said hi to me. You can be thankful for many things. God, I thank you for my family. I thank you for my health. I thank you that I'm alive. I thank you I have food. Be thankful. And we see in the text that he is what? Giving thanks to God. And then supplication. He's asking. He's asking God for help. You know, you can ask God for things. Maybe you can pray on behalf of someone else. Ask for someone else. Just talk to God. Maybe you can confess your sin. Maybe you can tell him how, you know, you're so sorry and you want to change. I guarantee you that's 5 minutes like that. But here's the key. Don't make it spontaneous. Don't make it every now and then. Make it regular. Make it consistent. It requires discipline. It becomes a habit. And that's what I want. And here's the thing. Listen carefully. When you see there's a habit in praying regularly, you're going to find there's power in the way you live out your days. You're going to see there is strength in your spiritual muscle, and even if you're thrown into the lion's den, you're not worried. Praying Christians are powerful Christians. Make it a regular habit, because one of these days you will be thrown into the lion's den, but because you have been praying, there is power to overcome what is before you. That's holy habit number two. Amen? Holy habit number three, the last one, faithfully trusting. Now, listen carefully. This gets a bit complex here. So Daniel would see the safest place for him was actually in the presence of his God. Right? He's praying. He's trusting God in the face of death. The psalmist says this in Psalm 118:8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And Daniel does not trust in man, doesn't trust in himself. He begins to trust God. Go to verse 16. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. Darius says what? I hope your God rescue you. The God that you've been praying to, the God you've been trusting. The very next day, this king here, he gets up. Now, if you read the chapter during the week, you know that Darius and Daniel, they were actually good friends. A lot of respect for one another. See, that night when the king ordered Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den, he could not sleep. He didn't eat. There was no entertainment. He was worried for his friend. The very next day, he ran to the den. Look what happens in verse 19 and 20. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. Verse 20. And when he came near the den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? You see the king's response? Has your God, the God that you've trust, are you still alive? Did he rescue you? Because even the king knew that Daniel was trusting in God. Now look at Daniel's response in verse 22 and 23. He says, my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wounds was found on him because he had trusted in his God. You see, holy habit number three was Daniel was faithfully trusting God regardless of the situation. But I want to show you something that I kind of noticed during the week. Look in verse 22 again. He gives us the reason why he trusted God. He says this, they, that's the lion, have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his, that's God's sight, nor have I have ever done anything wrong before you. You notice that? Daniel had this understanding because he was innocent before God. God had to rescue him. That's what the text says. The reason why no animal touched me is because I'm innocent before God. And because of that, God rescued me. And I would say Daniel is 100% correct. If you and I can stand before God innocent, blameless, holy and pure, God will save you. But you might say, well, that's impossible, Ben. That's impossible. I've messed up. I've done a lot of bad things. I can't stand before God, holy, blameless, innocent. And I would say, you are right. You're 100% right. And that's where the gospel comes in. That's where Jesus comes in. Because if you place your trust in Jesus, the Bible is very clear that you stand before God, perfect, holy, righteous, guilt-free, innocent. That's why the gospel is so wonderful. The Apostle Paul, he says this in Colossians 1:22. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, so this is Jesus, in order to present you, that's you and me, holy and blameless and above reproach before him, that's God. You see, friends, we need to keep trusting Jesus because he's already saved us. He's already rescued us. Here's the thing. The greatest rescue is not from the mouths of lions, but from the path of condemnation. That is the greatest rescue. And if you are a Christian, you've already been rescued from that. You've already been taken away from the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of life. You're already rescued. There is no fear for you and I as Christians of the second death, which is the spiritual death, something that we do have to worry about. And if we can trust him, that's Jesus, for what is yet to come, we can also trust him for everything now. Does that make sense? Everything that you are facing today, you can keep trusting him. If you can trust him for what is yet to come, you can trust him with everything now. All your worries, all your struggles, all your pain, all your uncertainties, you can trust him. Keep faithfully trusting him because he's got you. And if you're not a Christian, if you do not know Jesus, I encourage you to explore Jesus, to trust him. To trust him. Because he loves you. And he says this once, Jesus, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you do not know Jesus, let me say this, that you can place your trust in him. You can. He loves you. He cares for you. And he promises that he allows you to be in relationship with the Father. And you don't have to worry about any second death. You don't have to worry about it. Because you will stand, what? Innocent, blameless, guilt-free, righteous and holy before God. And because of that, like Daniel, you'll be rescued. You'll be rescued and you'll be kept safe. That's my encouragement for you all. 3 holy habits from Daniel. Faithfully serving, faithfully praying, faithfully trusting. Keep those 3 things close to heart. And I guarantee you, you begin to see the work of God more and more as you keep following him. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. You are so good. So good. And I just pray for anyone here this morning who for some reason have stopped serving you. Oh Lord, would you help them? Would you remind them that you are worthy of our time? That we can offer you our lives. For anyone who've come up with excuses or reasons for not serving you, I just pray that you remind them of Daniel, who in his old age of 80 was still faithful in serving you. Lord, give us wisdom on how we can serve you in the different seasons of life and never allow us to come up with reasons and excuse to say, well, that's not for me. I've done my time. I've done all my years. Now I get to rest. No, no, God, I believe, God, that you all want us to make a difference. Maybe it's serving you at home with our children, with our spouses, to reach them with the gospel. Or maybe it's the areas of just outreach, living a life where people will see something so exceptionally different about us that they want to question why? Or would you help us, God? But I also pray for anyone here who do not pray regularly. Oh God, give them the desires to be with you in prayer, that it becomes something that is just so part of their life, that everyone would notice that they are a praying individual, that they love to pray to you. There is this discipline in praying regularly, consistently, daily. So I pray that every one of us here this morning, whatever step that we need to do next, help us to take the next step. Whether it is just praying 1 minute a day, or whether it's 5 minutes a day, help us, God, that we take the next step so that we see our life, Lord, marked with regular prayer. And I pray that we are always trusting you, Jesus, in every season of life, the good times and the bad times, we're trusting you. Lord, we've already trusted you with our lives. We know, God, what will happen at the very end. And so help us to trust you today. And as we are people who are forever trusting you, they see this calmness in us, they see this grace in us, and may that bear witness of the God that we are trusting. So Lord, I pray for Sun Life Church. Thank you so much for this great day that we can come and sing and worship. I pray, God, that we don't just hear your word and leave the same, but we would leave changed, different, for your glory and the good of those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Was that okay? Is that right? So what are you reading next week?
Daniel chapter 7.
Can I just give you a warning? The first six chapters of Daniel was pretty straightforward, I think. The last six, woohoo, game on. Start reading, right? If you can read and come, it's going to be a lot easier for you, all right? As you wrestle with the text, come and hear what the preachers have to say. It gets very complex, the last six chapters. That's why a lot of churches would tend not to preach from chapter 7 onwards, but not this church. Bring it on. Can you do that for me? Read the Word of God. And in your small groups this week, as you go to your Connect group, wrestle with the text. Read chapter 6 again. Ask one another, how are you going in trusting Jesus? And share, this is what I do. How are you going with your prayer life? Hey, let's have an accountability where we're praying for each other and keeping each other accountable that we're praying regularly. Or how are you going in the areas of serving? Hey, let's find areas that we can serve together. And I believe we keep doing that, we will grow as a healthy disciple-making community. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. Let's worship with a bang. Let's do some, you know, going in the areas of serving. Hey, let's find areas that we can serve together. And I believe we keep doing that, we will grow as a healthy disciple-making community. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. Let's worship with a bang. Let's do some, you know,